Ed Hardy knew that he wanted to become an artist from an early age. When he was 10, he was putting temporary tattoos made with colored pencils on neighborhood kids. After he graduated from the San Francisco Art Institute, he passed up a fellowship from Yale to become a tattoo artist and has since become one of the most famous tattooers in the world. He was the first American to travel to Japan to study tattooing, and he started the first tattoo magazine, Tattoo Time. He's also had many gallery shows focused on tattoo images, and he's put his tattoo designs onto garments to start the hugely successful Ed Hardy clothing line. His memoir, Where Are Your Dreams? My Life in Tattoos, written with the help of Joel Selvin, is published by Thomas Dunn, and I'm very pleased that it has brought Ed Hardy to our show today. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me, Leonard.
And there have been popular TV reality shows over the past few years about tattooing. Inked, Miami Ink, New York Ink, Ink Master, Tattoo Age, Tattoo School, Tattoo Nightmares, to name a few, plus books, documentaries, articles about tattoos. What do you think has led to this breakout from the underground into the popular culture over the past couple of decades?
You know, I think it's just something that was... I don't know why people get tattoos. It's like I don't know why people make art. But I think that this was an essential part of our species for people that were interested in it from way, way back. Obviously, they go into prehistory. And it was pretty much stamped out by the primary ruling culture over the last few hundred years. And now it's become the artistry level and the interest in people being able to express themselves has brought it back up.
Well, in the past, it was mostly sailors and people in prison. Now we're seeing a lot of different kinds of people and a lot of women getting tattoos mm-hmm. these days. There was a stigma attached to it in the past.
No, yeah, it was demonized. It's one reason that I got into it in the 60s because I thought it was a medium that had never been fully developed and formal levels. And I thought it was interesting sociologically, culturally, and I knew the background. And I was particularly inspired by the Japanese tradition. I was very heavily into Asian aesthetics and art and all that. So,
Does it matter where the tattoo is applied? There's a big difference between having it on your face and on your arm or your leg.
Yeah, the visibility and all. I mean, this is sort of, it's completely crazy to me, the level of popularity that it's gotten. None of us ever expected that. I just basically wanted to get some respect to people say, oh, well, this can be done well, and if somebody likes that, that's fine. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're ignorant or antisocial or anything like that.
Well, there's still a stigma attached in some cases. The tattoos on the small of the back of young women is often referred to as a tramp stamp.
Yeah, or California license plate, they say that too. All these things, it's very easy to pick. I mean, there's all these great one-liners about it, and the underground or outsider aspect I like a lot. Like a buddy of mine used to say, we went and joined the Pirates, you know. I mean, we were on track for sort of high art world stuff, and that's all right, but... It's definitely gets a rise out of people. As Joel said when we did this book, it was like what the word tattoo really is what gets attention more than saying painting, you know.
Well, you talked about the higher art aspect. You went to San Francisco Art Institute. Mm-hmm. You weren't thinking of becoming a tattoo artist at that point.
No, I was obsessed with it when I was a little boy. I wanted to be a tattooer when I was 10, from about 10 to about 13, and then I was too young to learn how to do it or get a tattoo, and I was off into other things. But I always made art, and when I reconnected with it as I was getting my undergraduate degree and headed for Yale and all that, I just realized it was a medium that was completely unexplored and was a huge challenge, so...
But there's a certain look to tattoos. Did your training in high art prepare you for becoming a tattoo artist?
Yeah, well, you can make tattoos look like anything. That's part of how I change things around with it because I amplify.
I mean, I can have an abstract expression.
Yeah, exactly. Tattoo? Yeah. I've done a lot of abstract work. I was doing I finally was able to set up a studio where people came in and told me what they wanted, and I interpreted their interests, hence the term Wear Your Dreams. That was from an early business card from about 1975 in San Francisco. And it was a challenge to me to be an illustrator and make their things happen, you know.
You write about the early years of American tattooing and the legendary tattooers who pioneered the American style. What's the American style? How does it differ from a tattoo I'd find elsewhere? I understand how different it is from the Japanese style, mm-hmm. but what about the rest of the world?
Well, I think it built out of like seafaring culture and tattoos are essentially they're like heraldry, you know. They're very powerful symbols with a definite silhouette, a shape, an intention, you know, of various basic things to humanity, the strength and power and love, and you know, they're all little distillations of human emotion, and it's just something that developed probably late 19th century and definitely early 20th century, the American style, very bold. A lot of it was established around New York because the electric tattooing machine was invented here in the 1890s.
And then banned by Mayor LaGuardia.
It was banned because supposedly it was a hepatitis scare, but actually there were a couple of guys tattooing on the Bowery, Stanley and Walter Moskowitz. Evidently a woman whose husband was high up in some sort of government came in and was wanting to browse in the shop, and they threw her out, and she went home and told her husband, these are terrible people. You should shut that down. It was banned in all the boroughs from 1961 until, I think, 1987 or 97. It was a long, long time.
But available all throughout the rest of the country.
Yeah.
Have advances in tattoo machines and sterilization been made since you started tattooing in 1967?
Oh, very much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I came in right when autoclaves began to be used, not just cold sterilization. We didn't even wear gloves until maybe the early, mid-80s or something. So it's been big changes in that. And the pigments, there's a greater range of pigments, and the machines are more refined.
What about the pain? People have tattoos on their faces, for example.
Yeah, well, that's,
I was wondering whether Mike Tyson received as much pain as he had given out.
He probably got a little dose of it. I mean, tattoos, everybody says, oh, my God. Well, they don't. They're not that excruciating. If they were, there wouldn't be all these people getting them. They're not heroes or idiots, you know, most of them. So,
well, a lot of people will say, well, okay, so it looked okay when you were 18, 20, 21. But what happens when your skin will sag as you age or if you put on weight?
Well, the tattoo changes, and that's one thing I always stress to people. If they start saying, so this color will look like this forever, I said, no, you're not going to look like you look now forever. You have to be able to accept the fact that we're on a one-way train, things are going to change, and you have to just go with it. That's all there is to it. But, of course, the vanity and the obsession and culture with youth that, you know, this sick kind of thing that the society's in now is, they can't deal with it, I suppose.
And it's kind of forever. You can try to get rid of a tattoo, but it never really goes
away. Yeah, I think people should look at it as a one-way thing, and they can do an amazing thing now with all this laser removal, but I just think that's, if you're going to get one, you should like the idea that it's permanent. That's one of the things that I think is great. It's permanent. It's going to be a marker of your life journey. So
be careful not to put somebody's name on your arm if 2 years down the line you might get a divorce.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, those are often little trouble spots.
My guest is Ed Hardy, who with Joel Selvin has written Where Are Your Dreams? My Life in Tattoos. Who taught you to tattoo?
My first mentor was really the first sort of renegade intellectual that I'd met, who is an author. He's part of Gertrude Stein's circle. Sam Stewart, his tattoo name was Phil Sparrow, and he was the first really kind of academic guy that had gotten into the business and gave me some pointers. And then I connected with Sailor Jerry Collins, who was a great tattooer in Honolulu. He did a lot of the breakthrough work in the mid-60s in the work.
And then you and Sailor Joe kind of try to transform tattooing?
Yeah, we were hit it off because he had a vision to try to make it more complicated, more sophisticated, and we were both on the same things.
And then there's Lyle Tuttle.
Yeah,
Lyle. Why has he been such an important figure in the tattoo
world?
Well,
he's an important guy because he's a great sort of showman and raconteur, and he's the first to admit he's not a great tattooer. He never was, but he appreciated the fact that it had this kind of charisma to it, and he's really articulate, and he's a great, just sort of a great in the flim-flam tradition. A lot of tattooing really depends on the whole carnival thing, which I like about it.
Although you and Sailor Jerry disliked him, at least at the start.
Well, Jerry had a real, I think Jerry actually was jealous about him. Jerry would not talk to any kind of media. He would throw people out of his shop, whereas Lyle loved being in the limelight and realized it would do well for his business and kind of promote the whole thing. So early on, he was the first one that began tattooing. He tattooed Janis Joplin and Cher and all that kind of thing.
And then in 73, you became the first American to move to Japan to work with traditional Japanese tattooers.
Mm-hmm.
Was the style very different? Is the technique very different?
Well, a lot of the person I worked with, most of his work was actually done with hand tools, not machines, where they were just putting the pigment under the skin with a series of needles and really old 19th century style. But the work was very sophisticated. It was based on ukiyo-e culture, Japanese woodblock prints, 19th century things. And it was an amazing experience because I was really deep down in a very underground culture. A lot of the customers were Yakuza and Japanese, gang members.
Well, you don't find too many of them in California or Hawaii, I hope. But you have adopted some of the styles, haven't you?
Yeah, the styles, because, it comes from classic Japanese art, 19th century art.
And then there's the clothing line. How did that first get started?
Some people saw a prominent article about a painting show of mine in Los Angeles. I've been doing my own art. I've gotten back to doing that about 20 years ago. And they liked the imagery. They liked the work and wanted to put it on garments. And they had a small business based in Tokyo and L.A. And I agreed. And then after a couple of years, it caught the attention of this Christian Audigé, who's a very bling-bling Hollywood kind of guy, promoter and entrepreneur. And he, we granted him the master license, and he took it into these unheard-of realms, made it a real phenomenon.
And the brand helped make tattoo design more mainstream.
I think it did, yes, yeah.
So at this point, how connected are you to the clothing business?
My wife and I own half of it, co-own it with Iconics Brand Management Group here in New York, and I vet all the stuff. Christian's not part of it anymore. We had some real problems with the way he took it, but it's gone well. It's global, and we're working with good designers, and it's been an amazing journey.
And you have a lot of color photographs in this book of tattoos that you've done.
There are some. Yeah, there's a couple of 16 color page photo sections.
So. Is there anyone that you think is particularly special, a unique tattoo job that you did?
Oh, there's so many. One of the ones that stand out to me is an industrialist from St. Louis. He owned a bank and did all sorts of things. He loved anything that moved fast, and he'd set a record crossing the English Channel in a hot air balloon, and he had me do an entire epic back piece. There's a picture of it in there of that first flight, the Montgolfier brothers, and I took it off actually a colored French wood engraving from the menu of the Concorde. He came out from St. Louis in 5 days, and I did his entire back. That was unusual. That was probably 1975.
Well, some people want one little discrete image, mm-hmm. and others want to have their whole bodies covered.
That's it, yeah.
And you do both.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I'm retired. I don't tattoo anymore, but up to 5 years ago, I tattooed 40 years, and now I'm doing my own personal art again.
And it's interesting to note that you're not showing off any of your tattoos.
Yeah, I have a lot, but I prefer running a stock look. We used to call it in the car culture, you know.
So you wear long sleeves.
Well, sometimes I do. I mean, I got short sleeves on now. I've got a lot of tattoos, and they're, you know, I'm not ashamed of them. But it's some of it's a private thing too. It's like, well, yeah, they're my tattoos, but that's not all there is.
Well, I must admit to a certain amount of prejudice. If I see a basketball player with a lot of tattoos mm-hmm. and he misses a bunch of shots, I judge him more harshly than
somebody
who
that's not tattooed.
Who doesn't.
I can tell you have a built-in bias, and I don't mind that because I meet a lot of people with that.
Well, I do wonder sometimes when I see a really attractive person, why did you do that to yourself?
Yeah, well, the thing, you know, it's a matter of personal choice, and I think the world has changed a lot. So a lot with me, too, I'm thinking, oh, my God, Joel and I were just saying today, man, in New York, I think there are more people tattooed here. You know, young people, more elaborately, the warm weather and that. It's just what they're doing.
More than California now?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Well, Ed Hardy will, in case you are interested in tattooing, and a lot of people are, obviously, Ed Hardy will be signing books tonight at 8 o'clock at the Barnes & Noble store in Tribeca. That's at 97 Warren Street. The book, Where Your Dreams, My Life in Tattoos, it is published by the Thomas Dunn imprint of St. Martin's Press. Co-written with Joel Selvin. Thank you for being here.
Thanks a lot, Leonard.